Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast, Mel. We really appreciate it and can't wait to dive in to all things about your journey and sort of some of the insights that you can give us. We know you here at Label Sessions as, you know, like a business strategist, but also an executive coach, doing kind of high performance methodologies and running, you know, startup founders, but also kind of high performing leaders, and helping them through kind of, you know, what they're kind of struggling with or how to help them grow. I wonder, perhaps I haven't covered everything and I'm sure I haven't, so I might pass the mic over to you. Would you be able to, you know, give a little intro to us to you, your work, and, you know, also the backstory that gets you to this point?
Of course. So first of all, it's just great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for inviting me on. And it's very exciting to be part of Label Sessions. I really love what you're doing and the collaboration that you are creating with the clients that you're working with. So it's great to be here. So yes, I'm Mel McIntyre. I am primarily a business strategist and high performance coach. And I typically work with leaders and founders to help them launch, grow and scale their own businesses. I also work with leaders who work in larger organizations where the kind of typical sweet spot is that there's a transition point happening for them and their leadership and or the organization. So perhaps it might be a new job, perhaps often actually a great time for me to step in is when there's organizational changes happening, so that I can help the leader to feel really confident and empowered about their leadership vision, but also really support them with the leadership throughout the operations and with the team, right? With the people that are involved and impacted by the change. And there's another element to my work, which is distinctive in the way that I operate. And that is I'm all about helping businesses perform really well with well-being at the heart of their culture, and for founders and leaders that they can scale their impact without risking burnout. Because I think that's a massive issue that we see out in business these days. It might be something we talk about a little bit more. But yeah, that I would describe that as what I do now. And I do that in various ways. I work privately with clients. I run programs of my own. I have a kind of academy and stuff for business owners in particular. And I think what led me here, there's probably a few things to say about that. I would describe myself as a corporate survivor. I think there's many of us out there who perhaps understand what that feels like. I had a really, you know, successful career. I was very ambitious. I was very driven. I climbed the ladder. Primarily, I did a lot of work in financial services. I had various roles also operating as a consultant, a management consultant, a specialist consultant. My professional field has always been people and development and learning and development and organizational change. And so I climbed the ladder and got to a position where, you know, I was transforming functions. I was kind of moving from the private sector into the public sector to help transformation happen there. I was bringing more commerciality in to the way that organizations operated. And what the kind of solid theme through all of that was always about how can you help the organization perform more effectively with people at the heart of how you're doing that. And I'm really deeply passionate about true engagement of people, about co-creating. I think there's so much untapped potential and knowledge and insight and intellectual property in your workforce. So typically what I would do is I would be the person that would come in and can you create some of those bridges and frameworks to help open up some of the communication? And really, a lot of the time, I specialized in change that was broken, so change that wasn't happening well. And normally it was because the kind of change team or transformation function weren't talking to the operations. So I would come in and find ways to build bridges, because if the operations didn't do anything differently, then no benefits would be realized financially, right? So that was a lot of where my career got to. And then in my, towards the kind of different chapters, I suppose, I worked internationally all over the world. And towards the end of my career, I was working as a senior leader in financial services. And I was responsible for strategy across the organization for things like talent development, for coaching strategy, for exec development. I would be working with the exec team around their leadership. My team of consultants would be working within the organization to, you know, design great leadership interventions, do really good work. So that was kind of my career. And on the outside, it looked amazing. It looked great. And I had ticked all the boxes that I felt were the right boxes for me at the time, but all was not as it seemed. And what was going on for me internally and what was going on for me behind the scenes was a very different story. So I had been navigating my career really the whole time with pretty serious bouts of depression and anxiety. And my physical health had started to decline as well. So I had chronic IBS, I had a suspected stomach ulcer. I was using coping mechanisms that were not healthy for me. Just relying a bit too much on alcohol, numbing, spending. I had so much, I had this wonderful lifestyle. You know, 1 year I think I went on 6 holidays. But there was still this yearning, there was still this gnawing sensation in my solar plexus that this is not it. There's more. There has to be more. And I had all these conflicting feelings about that, right? Because I had more than loads of people have. Yet I still felt like something was missing. So I gave myself a really hard time. My inner critic was very, very loud. I was also suffering with quite a lot of imposter syndrome when I was sat in the boardroom. I felt like I wasn't necessarily going to be taken seriously. I was in a really, I think I was in an environment where it definitely felt more vulnerable to lead as a woman, if that's the right word. So long story, a wee bit shorter, I had a breakdown. I had a burnout. One day I woke up and I just didn't know how I was going to get through that day. And what was going on for me personally as well was my dad had been ill. He'd had a cancer diagnosis. He was living with me while he went through chemo. I was putting my own team through a restructure. I'd been asked to kind of design my dream job and I couldn't get excited about it. One day I just woke up and I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to do it today. And that was the turning point where I actually let myself break. I let myself stop. My life began to unravel pretty quickly from there on in. And what happened was within a couple of weeks, I had agreed that the right thing for me to do was to exit the business. A lot of conflicting feelings about that, but it was the right thing. I then took some time to have a break. And to heal. And I did a lot of travel. I did a lot more studying. I just went on this little quest to say, well, why am I really here? You know, if it's not that, kind of cliched, right? I went traveling around Asia to work out why I was here. It was pretty cliched. But honestly, the best thing I ever did. And I came back with just a renewed focus and energy that, okay, I want to set up my own business. At the time, my business was focused on how can I help leaders like me succeed without burning out. And I think that's been a common core, a common thread throughout my work. And that's evolved into various different things, you know, different people I've worked with, different programs I've developed, different organizations that I've worked with. But yeah, that's definitely a large part of my mission is there's another way to succeed. It does not need to look like that. And there's a really toxic narrative out there around what success looks like. And I just couldn't see a way to sustain my performance in an environment that felt so restrictive to me. So yeah, so I think that has really fueled a lot of what I do and why I do it now, and actually gives me a depth and a credibility actually to help other people with it, because I'm 9, 10 years, that was 10 years ago now. I can't actually believe, it feels like a different life, you know? So yeah, so that's a little bit of my backstory and what led me to the work that I do now.
And I think there's something quite powerful about a coach who's done it, who's been there, who's done it before, and has kind of gotten themselves out of that point and gone on the journey by themselves, and then like, okay, this is like, it's that, it's not even sympathy, it is empathy at that point, being like, no, I've been where
it's
you are,
just lived experience.
Exactly.
And you're right. You know, I think when I set up my business, what I knew at that point was I knew I was excellent at what I did. So I knew I was really good. I was a really good coach. I'd been coaching at that point for 16 years. I've been coaching at this point for like 25 plus years. Plus I've been working with strategy for around the same length of time, right? For around 20 years. And for people to see, especially leaders in organizations, I often get, oh my God, that sounds just like me. You know, when people are kind of sharing what's going on for them in a vulnerable way, I'm able to say, look, I understand how that feels. And there's a connection and a depth of, actually, it creates a trust and an intimacy. There's nothing theoretical about what we do. It's very practical. I know what it feels like to be in an organization that's a very complex system. I understand the theory. I've studied it at business school, but I've also lived it in real life as well. And you're right. People really appreciate that, you know?
And I wonder, when you're having kind of these conversations, is it a lot of kind of those things that you're talking about kind of burnout and not having a lot of purpose in life? Or do you think there are kind of new challenges or potentially other side opportunities that are emerging that are, you know, important for your work to understand that there perhaps are new things going on in these people's the people that you're coaching their lives?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I would, if we can really simplify it, I would really simplify it into two dimensions. One is the outer strategy, and that is very much about what's hot right now. Where, how can you get ahead of the curve? How can you be at the front of the wave that's coming, whatever that might be, around, you know, marketing or business growth or business development? What does that look like for you in your industry? But I'm a great believer that the best strategy in the world will not maximize the output without you being utterly confident in yourself and your ability to sustain your performance, right? Because I don't think you should be in a sprint season all year round, right? I don't think we're supposed to be in full bloom all year round. I think it's really important to look at things like, you know, when you're looking at your business plan for the year and you're looking at what is expected of you and what you're expecting of yourself and your organization, that you're able to really clearly see where the pause points are, to pause and reflect and course correct for you and for your strategy. And so the inner work, you know, mindset, psychology, confidence, that's a lot of the performance work that we do, as well as well-being. You know, how is your body fit and healthy and sustainable, able to sustain your performance? Because, you know, you have an engine in you, as well as your business having the engine that runs it. And the two are, of course, intrinsically linked. And so it's about you just setting you up for maximum ability to succeed, honestly, in a way that's simple and fun. Because we really overcomplicate things, you know? I was having a conversation with some great leaders last night. I recently curated a book called Awakened Leaders, How to Become the Leader the World Needs Now. And it was released, as we record this, it was released a few weeks ago. It's been a brilliant hit. international bestseller status. So I was talking to a few of the contributing authors last night, and we were talking about, you know, how is the message landing? How can we leverage this? And one of the authors was in the US. And at the core of that book is actually the world of business needs more love, right? How you perform as a leader, what people need from you, what the world needs more of right now. We really believe that that's love, right? We kind of fundamentally believe in the simplicity of being able to give yourself that self-love, self-compassion that you need to support yourself and to give it to others. But because she's based in the US and what's happening over there politically right now, which feels very divisive and very polar, she was saying, I've had my own journey with this in the last few weeks, really trying to understand, where does this land right now? How can I talk about this in a way that feels legitimate and authentic when everything I see around me is not that? And so we had this really rich conversation about, but perhaps that's exactly why this book is timed for this moment right now, because there are people out there who want to do business differently. There are people out there who look at the way that things are structured traditionally and think that isn't fit for purpose, that isn't fit for future. I think there's many people who are really disillusioned with the status quo. And so I'm really interested in unlocking within those leaders what their unique contribution is. Because I believe every single person has something very unique to contribute. And when you get to the core of that, that takes confidence, right? To actually acknowledge and own that. And when each of us are empowered and enabled to do that, that's when we're going to create a tidal wave of systemic change. So I actually think that's incredibly relevant for business strategy, you know, that we're able to unlock the kind of genius, if you like, and passion and talent and contribution of those leaders running those businesses, because that's how we're going to change the world. Like, I really believe that with every ounce of my being.
And I know you said that, you know, you're having these conversations with other leaders, other people who are kind of perhaps executive coaches, and also, you know, all the people around in your field. And thinking about all of these, you know, you're having these conversations about, you know, love, passion for, you know, work, people, subjects, and that kind of things. But also, what other questions do you think leaders or people, you know, should be asking themselves right now?
Honestly, I think really being able to connect with what's the legacy that you want to leave? What's the legacy that you're here to create? What's the contribution that really matters to you from a values perspective? I really believe that the more you're able to connect with that, the more easy it is to be profitable. I think when we look out at the marketplace, the marketplace, you know, consumers are just becoming so much more sophisticated, and the way that they're making decisions is really different. You know, people are really moving away from old school kind of fear-based scarcity tactics, for example, and they want to feel valued. They want to see, does that person have my values? I think it's incredibly important for business strategy that type of evolution is supported and encouraged. Conscious business is a really big kind of area that I'm discussing with people at the moment. And not just peer, well, I would class my peers, not other coaches and consultants necessarily, but other founders, other business owners, other leaders. So I think, you know, really there's a lot of people taking a step back to lift their head and be more intentional around the way that they do business and the way they build their business. So there's a lot of, you know, I would encourage space for those types of questions, honestly. And I think I mentioned earlier, you know, having regular time to pause and reflect and just inquire within as well as do the external analysis, I think is incredibly important. And the questions don't need to be complicated ones. They can honestly be really simple. You know, what do I really want? How is this helping me get there? Is this taking me closer to or further away from what it is that I'm ultimately creating? I have this little saying around particularly around productivity, each day is your life in miniature. And so when you're looking at the way that you're spending your day today and tomorrow and the next day and yesterday, is that in alignment with your ultimate vision, your ultimate goal, whether that's for your business and or your life? Because again, I think the two of them need to be connected. There's many people that build their business and run their organization in a way that almost neglects who they are and what brings them joy in their personal life. Our new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, came under some really, this in the UK, came under some really interesting pressure recently for saying in an interview that he has a habit that at 6 p.m. on a Friday, he shuts down shop to spend time with his family. It's a habit. It's protected time for him and his wife and children. And his wife's Jewish, so there's also a cultural dimension to that, which is very important for them. And some of the vitriol that he got about being a part-time prime minister, I would never finish work at six. It's like, what? It's just, to me, it just feels like dinosaurs, right? Like, that to me feels so out of touch with the direction of travel in which we're going as a society. And of course, if there's an emergency, he's going to attend to the emergency, right? He's a grown adult. He's like the highest leader in the UK. I think we can trust them to make the decision on the occasional Friday. If something's happening, he's going to attend to it, right? So I thought that was really interesting. It definitely triggered me and boiled my blood a little bit. But then I thought, you know, it's great that that dialogue's out there. It's great that there's people who can actually discuss that and use that. Use him as a role model, actually, for there is another way you can lead in a way. What he said was, I don't believe, I'm paraphrasing a little, being a worse father makes me a better prime minister. And I thought, bingo, for me, that hits the jackpot entirely. So I think the questions that you're asking yourself or the questions that I'm discussing are really ones about the macro. What are some of the shifts that need to happen in society through how we're doing business, but also the internal micro questions around, am I showing up in a way that ultimately enables me to live the life that brings me joy and fulfillment and enables me to be a great leader and create great results in my organization at the same time? I don't think the two are conflicting. I actually think they're really complementary.
I think definitely. And, you know, it's a way that people are changing the conversation about work nowadays. I feel like before, perhaps,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
The older generations are talking about, you know, this is, you're young, this is your hustle time, you're meant to be overworking, this is the time when you have the energy to earn as much money. When you retire, that's when you can have your, do whatever you want, enjoy your hobbies and everything like that. But I feel like nowadays,
if you retire, and what are you going to retire on? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, exactly. And then I feel like recently, or perhaps it's a post-COVID thing, I'm not entirely sure, but it seems like a lot of people are taking, like you said, you know, that time to pause a bit. The time to be like, okay, I don't have, you know, what happens if retirement, you know, retirement age is pushing further and further out. Why can't I just enjoy my time now and perhaps do a little bit more balance?
Exactly. The thing is, right, we have conditioned people to outsource joy and fulfillment to a chapter in their life that may never come. Right? That's the reality. And I think there's something so fundamentally flawed about that. And you're right. I do think younger generations, we were giggling actually, my son number one, he's my stepson, he's 27. My other son, Maximilian, he's 6. So like we have like a really big spectrum, right, of parenthood going on. So he started a new job recently and it was an office-based job and he had never done that before. He's an electrical engineer, so he's typically out and about, kind of, you know, quite active, and the culture was so different. And he said, they expect you to be there earlier and then they expect you to be there later. He's like, but they're not going to pay you for that. He's like, I'm just not prepared to do that. And we were giggling, you know, we were like spoken like a true Gen Zer, you know. We're Gen Xers and the kind of millennials who are, I think we're the last generation that were willing to tolerate that for kind of like, you know, career progression. But it's great. We said, isn't that great? Right? Isn't it great that he really values his time? He understands his boundaries. He's already highly successful, right? So you're right. I think there's this friction happening. But I think it's a good one because actually without friction, typically there is no change that happens. And you do need people to be bold and to say, hey, I'm gonna stand up for myself. I'm going to make a stand here because I would never have done that at his age. I was so focused on climbing the ladder and being the good girl, right? And like performing, ticking all the boxes as I described, which was great to a point. But I hit my mid-30s and thought, uh-oh, I can't see how I can keep doing this. And actually, I think there are key turning points in many of our lives where we think, actually, is this the way I want it to be or do I need it to be different? And we should encourage that. We should encourage that evolution because none of us, to stay the same is to stay stagnant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And I feel like with, you know, like you said, you've had all of these years experience to go through the highs and the lows and to teach people. And I wonder, you know, thinking of you now as a leader and thinking about kind of what makes you tick, I guess kind of how would you want people to describe you and the way that you make change happen on your best day? Is there a particular kind of methodology, framework, feeling that you want to, that you could recommend to people or give to them or, you know, your legacy essentially?
Yeah. Why don't I, you know, yeah, you know, it just popped into my head. A client of mine gave a flyaway comment a couple of months ago. And when she said it, I was like, oh my God, that feels like my strapline, like my new strapline. She said, you know, working with Mel, it's not just good for your business, it's good for your soul. Mm-hmm. And what she meant by that was, and this is actually, when I've done market research, this is a large part of my USP, right? Is that I absolutely love every single person that I work with in a very boundaried way, right? Not in an inappropriate way or anything, but business strategy, performance coaching with a massive dollop of love. Because when you know that someone believes in you, right, I have this gift, I can see people at their highest potential, right? When I'm connecting with somebody, when I'm meeting with them, I can usually see what's possible strategically and what's possible for them internally as a leader. And we'll often explore what are the things that are holding them back. And so much of that is the inner voice. And so when you have someone that can see what you're capable of in a way that perhaps even you can't and will hold you to that, and that doesn't always feel comfortable, right? Because with love comes that holding where I ain't going to let you give up, right? I'm going to let you fall and I'm going to let you get back up and we're going to, you know, you're going to learn what the lesson that's there for you, but I'm going to hold that space until you're ready to go again. Because I don't think we're actually wired to do this in isolation. I really believe that you can go further when you feel like you have connection and you have community. So I would say it's all about high energy, fierce love, but also a really safe space to be vulnerable, particularly when we're working on coaching stuff. And if I could boil it down into a sentence, it would be business strategy and performance coaching with a large dose of love. And I think I love Gail's sentence that she shared, which is not just good for your business, good for your soul. And that was really for her about, oh, it doesn't matter how vulnerable I feel or how messy it gets. I know that whenever we connect, I'm going to leave feeling better than I did when I came here. So yeah, like if I can do that, then offer that space and that support, then my work here is done. Another thing I'm going to add to that is, do you know what happens when you do that? People earn more money. People earn more money, people make more sales, people feel more confident to take that risk that ultimately gets them to where they want to be. Because that's another thing, I'm particularly passionate about helping women earn more money to reduce the gender gap. That's kind of a particular passion and mission of mine in my own business. So hopefully that answers the question.
No, I think it does. And throughout this whole conversation, I feel like the reoccurring themes that are coming up are, like being able to stop for a minute, have some time to reflect and slow down a little bit in order to recharge, to be able to build up to, you know, that next sprint or that next, you know, career goal you have. But then also that kind of bringing in love into what you do and making sure it's, you know, purposeful. But I guess kind of my last question, and it's kind of all around all the way that reinventing the way people think, the way things are being done by people. But on that finding love and finding the passion of what you do, almost would you be able to help kind of our audience perhaps give, you know, the first step, a little insight into what's the first step in finding that? You know, if our audience is listening and someone's saying, you know, I'm feeling exactly the way that Mel used to, what would you say the first step is to getting on that path of like, okay, finding that time to pause, but also that love for what you do?
Okay, so here's what I would suggest. So simple, because I try and always share really simple strategies. The trick is doing them, creating a habit from them. That's where the profound transformation comes from. But it doesn't need to be complex, because actually we don't have room for more complexity in our lives, right? So I would take 5 minutes a day for the next 5 days, ideally as soon as you wake up in the morning, but it doesn't have to be. There's this kind of liminal space when you first wake up where your brain's still in a theta brainwave, where it's just kind of easier to act. You're not so much in your thinking brain, if you like. You're kind of in a different space thought-wise. So it's easier to tap into your inner wisdom, is how I would describe it. And I would ask yourself the question, what do I really want? What do I really want? And then you could add another question, which is, what's one thing I can do today to help me get there? That's it. Just start there. Just start there and let yourself be surprised by what bubbles up. And I would set a timer for 5 minutes and I would just let yourself write for 5 minutes and just see what comes out. Don't judge it. Don't stop. Just let that happen and then see what insights you get from that. That would be it. That would be it. Because I think so many of us don't let ourselves really go there. That's like one of the first things I do. Whenever I'm having a chemistry session with someone, I will always ask that question, you know, what do you really want? If nobody else could hear the answer and it's only me, like, let's go there. You know, let's go to that place because that's where I want to get the person to. And I had a call, I ran a strategy day recently and there was a client there. We've been working together on and off for about 4 years. And at the strategy day, she said, you know, I realized recently that every single thing that I wanted to achieve, I've done it. Every single thing that I wrote on that list that I made her write, you know, 4 years ago, she's launched businesses, she's taken 3 months off, she's worked internationally, you know, like she's literally ticked, she's ticked all the things. And she's like, and it felt quite an interesting space for her because she's like, now what? And it was great because I could go, because she's like, oh, now what? And I'm like, oh, now what? You know, sometimes it's just that energy injection for someone to take something, which, because that in-between is vulnerable. I know I'm not that anymore, but I'm not that yet either. What am I? Caterpillar soup is what I call it. And actually, she had contributed a chapter to the book I was mentioning, Awakened Leaders, and she talked about her transformation in that chapter, and it was the most beautiful thing for me to read. You know, it just felt so utterly like a different level of fulfillment, right? To help people create that. So yeah, it would definitely, I think, just start with a couple of simple yet profound questions. Be honest with yourself and just let yourself be surprised by your answers.
Mm-hmm. I like that part about, you know, let yourself be surprised, almost like put the ego aside and just be truthful to you about in those moments.
Exactly.
No, fantastic. And thank you so much for that insight exactly that. On what people can do, you know, taking the first step. So I think that was brilliant. And you know what, you know, we've given a good introduction to, you know, what you got, the kind of things that you do and the kind of things that you help with. for people individually and founders and high kind of high achieving individuals, but also companies as well, and making that kind of the process run more smoothly. I know it's just an introduction and I'd love to deep dive further, but I'm afraid we're running out of time. So I know people started kind of,
Yeah, we'll save that for another day.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. People can always kind of contact you about if they wanted to deep dive into that further. But I guess before we wrap up, we do a final, you know, quick fire questions. We have a few of them for you just before we wrap up. And I'll dive straight in. So kind of the first one is, you know, could your friends explain what you do to other people? Could they do that well?
I think they could now. Yeah. I think they would say, I'm a business strategist and coach. And I help women earn more money. I think they would say that. Yeah.
And is that what almost you'd want them to say? Is that you're like, okay, that's good. Or is there anything more that you would want them to say?
No, I think I would be good with that. I think as well, I think what they would say is that I'm a great supporter of other leaders. And again, particularly other women. But no, I'd feel good with that. I'd be happy with them to say that. Honestly, I think everybody has their own interpretation. And it is a funny thing, isn't it? Like, what do you do? Like, I try and describe to my six-year-old what I do. And I went to his school recently and did a session for like all the different primary classes around setting up your own business. And that was really fun, you know, because you had to simplify it so much.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting teaching, well, different ranges of ages, but your son is six. So I think that's really interesting.
It was really fascinating. It was the heart. I was so nervous. It was like, I was more nervous about that than speaking to a hundred leaders, that's for sure. I had no idea what to expect. Yeah. No,
that's fantastic and also super interesting. But I guess linked to that, and another quick fire question, you know, through all of your kind of years in business and also what you do now, what's the best advice that you've ever been given?
So it was actually a question that I was asked. It was just this question by a coach. I was in California doing some coaching training with the High Performance Institute. And she just looked at me and she said, this is going to sound like a wild card thing to say, right? She said, have you ever let yourself be truly held? It was a question that completely turned turned my reality on its axis. It was one of those deeply insightful, intuitive questions that led to me unraveling this inner block I had around receiving and receiving support from others. And that was so life-changing for me. I really believe in the power of a question over advice, because I believe we've all got the answers that we need within. So yeah, I would say that question was certainly one of the defining moments when it was like, wow. I didn't see that coming. And that's what a great coach will do, right? Is do that to you. She's wonderful. We're still in contact.
Right, next question. What could you not live without?
Oh, that's easy. My boys, my partner, Charlie, my two sons, Maximilian and Dean, 100%. I wouldn't want like to imagine life without them. Definitely not. That's easy.
That's wonderful. An easy quick fire question, that one. And then the last question is a question that we ask everyone on the podcast with wildly varying answers. Mel, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you and why?
That depends entirely who you're asking. I think 100%, like under the surface, I'm a solid 10. You know what I mean? For sure, like there's a lot that goes on under here, but I'm authentically weird. So I think it's interesting. I think it's all in the eye. It's a really fascinating question for me, because I think it really depends on who you're asking, like who's judging. But would I class myself as normal? Probably not. I mean, I live on this tiny little Hebridean island. I'm an extroverted hermit. I've got 130 people that live on the island with me. Even though I've lived in cities all over the world and travelled all over the world, like I've got a very unique way of operating now, which works for me. So I'd probably put myself up towards the 10.
I love that. But yeah, I guess kind of with that, I've asked all the questions that I wanted to. Thank you so, so much, Mel, for coming on the podcast. Oh, thank you. I mean, we've learned so much, and I'm definitely going to take away that the bit that you said at the end about finding the love, and how to start doing that, and start that reflective time. So thank you so much.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.